You're tuned into Food for Thought. If you would like to view this message, search Active TV on YouTube.
If you haven't heard any of the sermons, we've got the YouTube channel, which is called Active TV, and I'd really encourage you to go watch them there. And the last one was all about leadership. And we actually spoke about the parable that Jesus spoke, where he spoke about the world being a field, and the Son of Man sowed the children of God in the field, and the enemy came and sowed the weeds. And Jesus then spoke about the fact that obviously at the end of time, the weeds will be thrown into the fire, and the wheat will be taken into heaven, you know, and all of that stuff. And one of the things that you need to understand is Jesus spoke about how do you lead in such a way that you try and avoid the weeds. Because you do want to try and avoid them, because what they once they're there, you got to keep them in order not to destroy the wheat. And you got to understand what the traits of a successful leader. Now, I'm just going to mention them briefly. If you want to understand them, you must go through that sermon. The successful leader is a dreamer. And the successful leader is a person of faith. They have faith, as you learned last week, faith for now. The successful leader moves the spiritual realm when they speak. And I'm asking you, do you move the spiritual realm when you speak? The successful leader enables the impossible by faith. The successful leader raises successes. The successful leader has a committed team. And the successful leader builds successes. You see, with a successful leader, they've got successes that they're building and that they're raising all the time. They're always there. It's a non-stop thing. It's in their DNA. And the leader also doesn't say, you go. They say, come with me. And so as a result of that, their team is committed. Because they know they're following their leader. Their leader's not like, you know, many of the modern generals. Have you seen the modern generals? They sit there in the White House with the president. And they watch on a TV screen as other oaks go where the bullets are flying. And they only see the bullets on TV. And then they tell them what to do. That's how many leaders are, isn't it? But the reality is that that the successful leader is there with their team and they build successes. I want to move on to today. And I want you to think about that moment when a child is conceived. When a child is conceived, the first thing that begins to happen is that the cells begin to multiply and that child begins to grow in its mother's womb. And when the child is born, it continues to grow. And the growth process continues to such an extent that eventually the child becomes an adult. Now, what I want you to really consider is that they have certain measurements and certain things that they look at to see, is this child growing? Because if the child is not growing, it's a sign that something is wrong. And when that something is wrong, you take the child to the doctor. Because the doctor looks at the child to find out what it is that is wrong in order to correct what is wrong so that the growth can occur. And so our sermon today is, it is normal to grow. I want you to tell the person next to you, it is normal to grow. Okay, we have this concept in South Africa that it is not normal to grow. I want to tell you that that concept is the biggest load of rubbish. It is normal to grow. When the church is healthy, it grows. When the Christian is healthy, they grow. And I don't just mean that you grow by putting on weight. I mean that you grow. Tell the person next to you again, it is normal to grow. And so Jesus tells a parable in Matthew 13, verse 31 to 35. It's actually two parables. It says, then he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds came to perch in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked through all the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. What I want you to understand is that the crowds are under the parable. The crowds do not understand the things of the kingdom of God. The crowds do not understand the things of Jesus. I want to tell you, the crowds are out there, but the crowds are also in the church. There are those that are not close to Jesus. And Jesus explained that God has a plan for the kingdom. I want you to understand that God didn't create all of you without a plan. You look in the mirror and you think about how wonderful you are. You think about how awesome you are. Some of you are there and you're looking in the mirror and you're going, oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Last time I checked in the mirror, I saw that I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I am such a wonderful man or woman. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Well, if you're so perfect, the question I have for you is, why? Ask the person next to you, say, why? Why do you have two nostrils? I don't see anyone here with more than two nostrils. I'm looking at you. Everyone's got two ears. You understand what I'm saying? Everyone's got hair. Some got more, some got less. But everyone's got hair. You understand what I'm saying? Everyone's got two eyes. Some, like Lloyd over here, are wearing glasses. But other ones, you know, I can see. I can see as long as it's not too close. You understand? Then I need glasses. There's my glasses over there. I want you to think about all of that. Why are you so perfect? And why would God make you so perfect if he didn't have a plan? And from this parable, we learn some truths about the kingdom of God on earth. Now, if you look at that parable, Jesus says you take the mustard seed, which is a seed of a mustard tree. And it's a tiny little seed. You put it in the palm of your hand. It is a tiny little seed. It is so small that for some of you without glasses, you won't see it. And then what happens is you take that thing and you plant it in the ground and you water it and you nurture it. What happens to that seed? By itself, it begins to grow. Because everything that seed needs to become a tree is inside that seed. And then that thing grows to become the biggest of all the trees in the area that Jesus walked the earth of. And so what happens is even the birds that were flying, they would see this tree and they would come and perch in its branches. And what is that saying about you? That if you're a part of the kingdom of God, your life is supposed to become so big that everyone around can see your life, that everyone around can see what you're doing, that everyone around can see who you are and that you are someone that is worth being around, because at the end of the day, your life is so large and in your life there's room for everyone. If your life isn't so big that everyone around can see what's going on, then at the end of the day, you are not fulfilling that which God planned for your life. I want to tell you something else. One of the things that I see is that people are so ready to get offended. People are so ready to take offense and say, oh, how dare you say that about me? But I want to tell you something, that if your life is not the way God intended your life to be, if your life isn't the life that God meant for you, then you're not receiving any criticism. You see, the moment you're doing something that God intended for you to do, let me tell you a little secret. You will receive criticism from all the people who are doing nothing. How do you know the difference in someone that is living the big life that the kingdom has intended for us and someone that's doing nothing? The one that is doing nothing is criticizing. Because people that are doing the big stuff for the kingdom haven't got time to look at what other people are doing except their own blessed disciples. See, if no one's criticizing you, you're doing nothing. You're small. You're the seed. Tell the person next to you, I don't just want to be a seed. I want people to notice me. Why do people who can't sing go into idols? Oh, what are you going to sing first? No, love song. I love you. On national TV. Why do people do that? Because we want to be significant. You don't want to be some insignificant little seed. And the thing is, what Jesus is saying there is that everything that is in that seed is all that is needed for that seed to grow. Now, the first thing you need to understand is the miracle of the small. You see, what I want you to realize as you're sitting here today is that there is a miracle in the small. Tell the person next to you, there's a miracle in the small. Matthew chapter 13:32a says, though it is the smallest of all seeds. I want you to think about God. When God started creation, he created everything out of nothing. Every single thing that God created, he made it out of absolutely and utterly nothing. And people are made in the image of Almighty God. Every single one of you is made in the image of Almighty God. You are made in the image of God, which means you are made to look just like God. You are made to be just like God. You are made to have God's character, which means that people are made in the image of God. They are made managers. They are made creators. They are made leaders. If you are not creative, let me tell you something. You are not what God created you to be. So I know some people that walk around, you know, us creators, Patrick. Like us creators, you know, we like we make music. We draw pictures. Like us creators, we like different. Twack. If they're alive, if they're breathing, and if they're a human being, they are creative. Us creatives include 7.5 billion people around the world that exist today. Every one of you is supposed to be creative. If you aren't creative, then something is wrong. And some people come and they talk to me about this creative thing because I don't really draw very well and I also don't understand colors. Listen, I'm creative, all right? I'm creative. My wife threatened to publish all the letters I used to write to her. You understand what I'm saying? I am creative. I'm so creative, she still got the letters. You understand what I'm saying? Don't tell me you're creative and I'm not. Every single person that is created in the image of Almighty God is creative, a leader, a manager. And leadership is the ability to create something out of nothing. That's what leadership is. That's what you were created to do. I want you to think about a baby. A baby starts out as nothing but fun. And some of you don't get what I've just said. I said a baby is created out of nothing but fun. Your daddy looks at your mom and says, "Hey, baby, come here." And your daddy and your mommy weren't thinking about school or nappies. They weren't thinking about university or anything like that. They were thinking, yo, tonight's going to be a good night. And the next thing, there was this one cell and it was you. Because they had fun. And out of nothing but fun comes a baby. And then the baby becomes one cell. And 18 years and 9 months later, it becomes an adult. Again, some of you don't click what I've just said. Conception, 9 months, and then you're 18, you become an adult. You turn 18, 18 years and 9 months after you were conceived. Some of you need to do some math here. You understand what I'm saying? Right? You didn't start existing the day you were born. You started existing the day daddy saw mommy. And yes, he went, And she received the, You understand what I'm saying? And then you came along. What do you mean you're talking like this in church? What did I say that's wrong? What's not true? So what, do you think, yeah, you think your daddy looked at your mom and said, oh no, please, please. Sandra's losing it a bit, yeah. I want you really to think about that now. When our mindset is wrong, we despise the small. But I want you to think about the miracle that a single cell becomes an adult after 18 years and 9 months. I want you to think about the incredible miracle of that is, and the fact of the matter is, when our mindset is wrong, we despise the small. And let me tell you the problem when we despise the small. When we despise the small, we spend our whole lives chasing the latest fashion. And we chase the latest fashion because we are small. And we're not able to create. And so we go wherever it's happening. It's happening. We go to the latest party, the latest whatever. We go to the latest man of God who's come from Araba Yoko Wada Batata to come and pray for people and heal them. Okay, so we flock there with the crowds. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because we think we're small. We think we're small. And so we go to wherever it's happening. I want to tell you, that's not what Jesus made you to be. Jesus didn't make you to go flock where everyone else is. He made you to be creative. And leaders in the mode of Jesus are leaders like John the Baptist and King David and Paul. And those kind of leaders are the kind of leaders who go where no one else has gone before. And they're doing things that no one else said possible. They're doing those kind of things. And that's what I want you to understand about what God wants you to do. Jesus, where did he go? He went to the fishermen. He went to the tax collectors and he went to the outcasts. And he started a movement that changed the whole world. It changed the whole world to such an extent that it changed the calendar. The calendar that you operate, it doesn't matter what the modern oaks are trying to do with it. The term used to be in the year of our Lord, 2018. The calendar is set according to Jesus. Jesus' movement was so big, it changed the calendar. If you haven't changed the calendar, you're nothing compared to Jesus. Don't walk around like you're big stuff. Once you change the calendar, then you and Jesus can have tea. And you can compare notes. But he went to fishermen and he went to outcasts. The people that society despised. And he starts a movement that changes the calendar. If you look at John the Baptist, he went to the wilderness. And the crowds came and flocked and he made a path for the Messiah. He made the pathway. When Jesus came, they were expecting him because of John the Baptist. If you look at King David, he was being chased. He was being hunted down by the king of his day, King Saul. And so no one wanted to go with him. So what did David do? He got to a bunch of criminals, a bunch of outcasts. He got to the rubbish of society. And what happened? He forged them into David's fighting men that even countries were afraid of. They were so powerful and the favor of God was so with them that countries were afraid of them. If you look at the Apostle Paul, he went to the dirty Gentiles. You know the dirty Gentiles, the Jews look down on us because we don't eat not halal kosher food. We don't eat the kosher food. We all dirty. We cook on pots that are not kosher. Paul went to those like us, the Gentiles, and he preached the gospel to us. And because of that, he spread the gospel throughout the whole world. And 2/3 of the New Testament is based on his letters that he wrote to the churches. The world sees the seed. The leader sees the tree. Because the big is inside the small. It's just a little seed, but the big, that big tree, everything of that big tree, the leaves, the mustard, everything is inside that seed. I want to tell you that God has placed everything inside of you that needs to come out in order for you to become that which God created you to be. If you look at Matthew 13, 32b, the small seed, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. People see the tree. They don't realize there was a seed. I want you to look at me. Every tree that you see started with a seed. Everything that you see started with a seed. Everything that is big started small. Everything. Because that's the way the kingdom works. Those who look at a seed and they just see the seed are the pessimists. They just see the seed that is out of here. Ah, this country, this and this country, that. All they see is the seed. Those who see the tree are the optimists. And that's what I want to challenge you with today. What do you see in life? Do you see the seed or do you see the tree? Because the tree is inside that seed. It is those who see the tree that will change the world. I need you to listen very carefully to me today. Those who see the tree when they're looking at the seed will change the world. Because the tree is inside that seed. If you don't see the tree, you will not grow. Now I need to explain something to you here today. You are the kingdom of God because the Bible says that you are the body of Jesus. The world judges Jesus by you. If you're just like a wishy-washy Christian, well, the world judges Jesus by your wishy-washiness. And because you are the kingdom, you have the Holy Spirit. The New Testament says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And why are you the temple of the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. And because of this, because you are the kingdom, and because the kingdom will grow, you should be growing. If you're not growing, something is wrong. Tell the person next to you, something is wrong. And then you need to get to the Holy Spirit. Why do you have a cell leader? Why do you have a pastor? The job of your pastor and your cell leader is to get you to the Holy Spirit, who is your teacher. When you are not growing, something is wrong. And it's not all the people around you. Because God has placed the seed inside of you for all that bigness, all that giganticness. All of that hugeness, God has placed it inside of you. And if the kingdom of God is operating correctly and things are working the way they should, you will grow and you will become the biggest thing in your area. That even the high flyers, the birds for me represent the high flyers of society. They will come and they will sit in your cell because they're desperate for what you have. And because they are high flyers, but you're gigantic. That what's the first thing they see as they're flying around there? They see you. And they come and perch on your branches for a rest. Further than that, when the kingdom is worked, the love touches everything. Matthew 13:33, the next parable, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked through all the dough. God is love. And so when the kingdom of God comes, it comes with love. I want you to understand that it's because of this love that the kingdom grows. Because the world is so hungry for this kind of love because it doesn't know this kind of love. The world doesn't know and it does not understand this kind of love. And that's what I need you to understand as you're sitting here today. And so, the world is hungry for the kingdom, but it does not know it. And therefore, the love causes the kingdom to spread like the yeast through the dough. And with that love, you've got to work that thing. You've got to work that thing through that dough. When the dough is saturated with the yeast of the kingdom, the nation rises. What happens with dough? You put the yeast in the dough, and you knead the dough, and you work the yeast into the dough. And then what happens? You take it and you put it into the oven. What happens to it in the oven? You apply heat to it. And when the heat comes, it rises. I want to tell you that if the kingdom's operating correctly in you, when the heat of life hits you, you won't fall apart. You won't get bitter and unforgiving and all of that stuff. You will rise. You see, when the fire of life comes, because the fire of life will come somewhere along the line, that's when we can see what's inside of you. The love causes the kingdom to grow. But love requires a special ingredient to cause us all to rise. And we read about that ingredient in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. It says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And the hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given to us. I don't know if you hear what that is saying right there. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings. I don't know about you, but that sounds a bit weird to me. We rejoice when we suffer. We're suffering. Yay! That doesn't sound right. We normally celebrate when we win. Not when we're suffering. When freaking Chelsea beat us 1-0. Yeah. You shut up, man. You shut up, man. Come here, look at this rubbish shooter. Legolas, look at this rubbish shooter. Yeah. No. I'm going to put your arm behind your back. You shut up, Wiener. Sit down. Don't raise your hand, yeah. That's an evil hand. When things get hot, they go redwood. All I've got to say to the Chelsea fans is, Chelsea will be watching as watching on TV as Manchester United plays in the Champions League. You didn't catch. Chelsea's not in the Champions League. They're going to be watching it on TV. All right. I want you to think about what that's saying. Why do we rejoice when you get mocked like this while you're trying to preach a sermon? And you're suffering. Because love, real love, requires suffering. And I want you to listen to me here today. We complain about our suffering, but real love requires suffering. It's not appealing because we don't understand the prize at the end of it. It's like, you know, the child who doesn't understand the suffering that comes when you have to study at school. But the child doesn't realize you study, you get your matric, you go into university, you go through your articles, you become a lawyer, later on you become an advocate. And now you go to court with a black gown on. And they pay you 50 grand a day. 50,000 rand a day. That child sitting there that's 8 years of age, that doesn't mean much to them because for them, money grows on trees. When they want money, daddy gives them money. 50 grand a day. An adult understands 50 grand a day that the advocate earns when they go to court. And yes, what happens with an advocate? They go into court with their gown. They stand up. They say, Your Honor, we propose a postponement. Judge says, done. Poof. 10 minutes later, you walk out of court, 50 grand. So the child doesn't understand 50 grand a day. When the suffering of studying must happen. And I want to tell you that for many people, it's exactly the same. We have the hope of the gospel, and the hope of the gospel is worth infinitely more than 50 grand a day. If you don't understand that, that's sad. It is worth so much more. And so, when we go through this process of suffering, it leads us down the pathway to get to the hope. I'll explain the hope in a moment. But let me tell you how this process works. Suffering only comes to the believer when God uses it for our good. Any suffering you go through, God is using it for your good. Suffering grows us. Why? It produces something in us. It produces perseverance. Suffering makes us tough. It means when we've suffered and we persevere, we're no longer quitters. And I want to tell you that the main enemy to your perseverance is your pride. The main enemy to you not quitting is pride. And suffering kills pride. Now, one of the things that I've seen, and it's why I love the nation that I live in. I love this nation. People have suffered. I'm not happy about the suffering. But because people have suffered, because so many people have suffered, people in this nation are tough, man. You don't believe me? You just go watch some of those talk shows from America. Oh, psychologist. Yeah. I'm so depressed. Why? There's a war in Iraq. They're in New York City. But now there's a war in Iraq. They're depressed. Oh, do you know someone who's fighting in that war? No, I don't know anyone. But, yo, it's just war all over the place. Every time I turn on TV, I just see war. And now they're falling apart. Because they're weak. And why they're weak? I mean, if you're watching a war on TV, just change the channel. When you're living in Iraq or you're living in Syria, you can't just change the channel. You got to change your citizenship. It's much harder to do. You know, move from channel 400 where the news is to channel 323 where the cartoons are or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? Or move to 341 where the Christian stuff is. You don't have to watch the war. Or move to Super Sport. We can go watch Chelsea cheat. Now, let me tell you something. When you go and you look at churches in rich nations, I believe that many of them could never achieve what we achieve here because their people haven't suffered. And so their people are full of pride and they're full of comfort. You see, our people, they will do everything for nothing because they're tough. If you think the people here are tough, give the Lord a big round of applause because I think our people are tough. People are tough here. And so, the average person in our community doesn't have to go through this because it's happened already. You see, the only way that God can sort your pride out is if you suffer. Because until you suffer, you think you're all that. So you think you're all that because you're so good looking. And then what does God do? He lets you suffer as you age. Hair falls out, you get wrinkles. Get thin on top and thick in the middle. You used to walk on the beach when you were 18 and everyone used to gasp in wonder at that specimen. Now you walk on the beach and they gasp for another reason. That's suffering. Don't you know it's suffering to get ugly? So, God uses suffering to kill our pride. But then pride is supposed to, perseverance is supposed to produce something. It produces character. So we have the people with perseverance. Perseverance produces character. But without the character, we think like fools. You see, when you have character, you think like Jesus because you have the character of Jesus. If you don't think like Jesus, you're a fool. And every decision you make is going to be a foolish one because you don't think like Jesus. So now what happens is that in our nation, many persevere because they've suffered. But their mindset is that of followers. And so as a result, they make foolish decisions. Let me give an example of this. My favorite politician, he looked like a Russian the other night, sitting there next to one of the richest oaks in South Africa, Patrice Motsepe. He's the third richest oak in South Africa. I saw a list. First oak was Rupert. No, first oak was Oppenheimer, second Rupert. Third was Motsepe. There was Malema sitting with Motsepe, but he fights for the workers with a big Russian cap on. Looked like a Russian, like the Soviet Union. You understand what I'm saying? He's sitting there. And you look at that guy. And people follow that guy when he speaks the biggest load of rubbish. I promise you now, please don't tell me you're for the worker and wear your red uniform in parliament. And then go sit next to the third richest oak in South Africa in his box. And then stand there and meet Messi. If Messi lived in South Africa, it'd be a white oak. You'd be wanting to take his farm. And I saw a photo. There's Julius. And that's awesome. It's fantastic. But there's a problem there. When you say you're for the workers and the next thing you're shaking Messi's hand after sitting in the box of the third richest oak in the country, there's a problem there. Why do people follow people like that? I like using him because he's a very good leader. He is a really good leader. Julius Malema knows how to mobilize. But he talks rubbish. And he doesn't live what he says. Why do people follow that? Because they haven't got character. And they think they're followers. And they make foolish decisions. And so they're looking for a savior when they already have one.
Can you see it taking over the darkness? Gloom is faded. Nothing can hide from it. Or will be exposed. Wake up. darkness, radical in the face of sin. Wake up, rise up, we've been called out of the darkness, radical in the face of sin. War has been declared, we're going after the darkness. There's no time to rest.
Bringing the salt, every darkness we came to assault. We were made to set it ablaze, breaking chains to pray and praise. We were made to set it ablaze, breaking chains to pray and praise. So let's set it ablaze.
War has been declared, we're going after the darkness. There's no time to rest. We're bringing light to every part of the world. Let's set the city ablaze, ablaze for Jesus. Set the city ablaze, ablaze for Jesus in every nation and home.